Hey there. Welcome to The Unpresentable Parts, your go-to spot for conversations that matter, hosted by Tim Blake and Titus Walelo. We're breaking down barriers and building bridges, one story at a time. Tim and Titus invite you into a space where the vulnerable becomes powerful. Ready to join the conversation? Let's dive in.
Well, hello. Welcome to the Unpresentable Parts podcast, sort of. Just another quick hello. I'd like to welcome the beautiful Eve edition, well, at least one participant anyway. Eve edition, Samantha Neptune Blake. Hello, wifey.
Hello. I hope everyone's starting off with a great new year so far.
We are all good. The one thing I will say is our unpresentable part right now, my wife was not trying to do this.
She is tired.
She's been in her office working. And as kind of is our way, you know, quick insight, whenever my wife and I are doing lessons together, it is a battle. I am more the, like, I got an idea. I feel it. Let's do it. Let's go. And she wants to study.
Yep.
She wants books. She'll listen to sermons. She's reading commentaries. Yep. Mm-hmm. She's definitely more of an educator.
Absolutely.
I'm more of a preacher. She could out-teach me any day of the week. She's like, So any case, we wanted to hop on really quickly. I think we're delayed a little bit. It feels weird, but that's fine. We're unpresentable. But we wanted to hop on real quick and just share a little bit about kind of where we're at and where we're headed for the year. Titus will be joining at some point soon, and we're reconnecting with Jasmine, as she is I think their daughter was born in August, so she's about 6 months or so. So we'll catch up on that. But any case, 2025, we're in it. We're up in it. Wife, what is your word for the year? Or did you do a word this year?
I did. My word is present. It's about just staying present in the moment. Not rushing through, not thinking about what happened 5 minutes ago or what's going to happen next, but being able to be in the moment, present.
Okay. Are you present right now?
I am, because if I wasn't present, I'd be having an attitude about you wanting to go right now. And me just literally trying to end my day. So yeah, I'm present.
It is definitely a marriage dynamic thing. There's sometimes husbands, you're ready to go. Let's just say sometimes spouse not as into it.
Well, yeah, not the microwave.
Oh, microwave food works. Not all the time.
Oven food is better.
Facts. my word for the year, actually I never do words for the year, but probably my two focuses for the year are peace and hope. I think peace for me, because I realize how much haven't been at peace within myself, have not been at peace with God. And I think as I've been thinking about that, and God's been, you know, through the Spirit pointing me in that direction, I've just realized how much the Bible talks about peace. And one of the main things that Jesus promised the disciples was peace. You talked about my peace I leave with you. And so as I'm reading, and I had an issue with God. It was a very painful couple of years, probably 2021 through 2023, very painful. I know for you as well, a lot of different ways.
Yeah.
A lot of tough relational wounds and that kind of thing. But I was walking and I was praying, and one of my favorite chapters in the Bible is Hebrews 12. And it talks about, you know, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And then the author through the Spirit just goes through this litany of why God disciplines us, of how he disciplines us. And it's not always punishment, but sometimes it's training. And at the end, or at a midsection, as he talks about what happens when we do respond well to his discipline, it says that it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace. And I never focus in on that. Honestly, I spend so much time in the other sections just trying to connect with God about why challenging things happens, why he directs us, why he puts us in situations to mold us. And I was like, righteousness and peace. Those are, and peace is a fruit of the Spirit, which I've never focused on. I believe it. Peace is a fruit of the Spirit, right? I do.
Patience, kindness. Now I'm drawing a blank when you asked me.
Uh-oh.
I might need to look that one up.
I'm going to look it up right now while we're on. But in any case, peace for me, I think, was a big deal. I think, hope is another, peace, let me back up. I think I've been reading a lot of books on, leadership, spiritual leadership. And one of the things is part of our role as ministers is to be a non-anxious presence. And there are a lot of books that talk about that. Like Jesus was a non-anxious presence. And so while the storm is going on, he was able to sleep in the boat. While, you know, people are crowded around him, he's able to be present enough to say, who touched my cloak? Like he was, there was a level of peace around him. And I think that part of my role is to help people to find peace in God. But I you can't give away what you don't have. And so for me, that's been a focus. I think also hope. Last year, in a lot of ways, was very challenging. The election for me was very difficult, as I know for a lot of people. Some people are celebrating. Some people are devastated. I spoke with a therapist recently who said a lot of her patients are really struggling. And I myself struggled. Just, again, I trust God. When I say trust God, it's limited. As you know, we all say we trust God, but then we get put in circumstances and the truth comes out. And I think I really had hope in, and I had an ideal of the way things should be. And I've realized in several ways, my wife, Sam just told me I'm an idealist, and you are correct. I am an idealist. In a lot of ways, I'm a child and I'm naive in some ways, but I really had an ideal of how things should be. And, but I have my hopes in the world. I have my hopes, even in the church. Some of my conflict with God in my mind was about, man, God, I wanted the church to be perfect. Like I wanted to, you know, you give me this opportunity to help serve in the church. I want to make this thing perfect. And just reading about God's people from beginning to end, there's never, the hope is never for this life. And it's really changed my focus. And that has actually helped give me some peace as I've reoriented where my hopes lie. It's given me more peace. I think it's made me more joyful already, but I've got a long way to go. But part of my role is to, I think, we have to be experts in hope and rightly placed hope, correctly oriented hope. So for me, getting there and then helping other people get there, which I also think will help others to develop peace, to find peace.
Yeah, it's interesting that you'd say this. I think it is, even as you're talking, one of the things I thought through was, this is probably the first time in our marriage where We're literally on the exact same page when it comes to, because you talk about peace and hope, and I talk about just being present, which is really being at peace in the moment, being still, right? Being still with God, being still in his presence. So I think it's interesting that we're really at the same place, which is, I don't think I realized that until you were just talking. And there's something, I don't know how to explain it. There's something very calming about that as well, to be at this place, at this stage in our lives, having the same word, really, in a lot of ways. It's semantics, right? In a lot of ways, semantics, they all mean the same thing. And I think the other part to that is you're, even when I told you yesterday that you were an idealist, I always thought I was an idealist. But really, what I realize is I'm actually a realist. I just am able to, which is probably why one of my favorite phrases ever is, it is what it is. It's kind of like you can't change it. It is what it is. It doesn't mean it's hopeless. It just means I can accept them in the moment and work through that, work around that. And so I think it's just interesting that with what we've done in the last few years, that we're both in a place where we're focusing on peace and being present with God. So that was really, that actually I didn't process that before, but I'm really getting that, huh, it's interesting. We're in the exact same spot, obviously with different things here and there. And I think even when you mentioned being hope for people, I think my normal response in the past would have been complete anxiety hearing that. I've got to be hope for people. I've got to give them the answers, and I've got to bring this to them. And I think at this stage in my life, realizing, no, I just have to be it. And I like the analogy. I don't know if it's an analogy, more so the what you just communicated about Christ being able to be calm in the storm, be still in the storm, be present. To feel someone touch him. I think that is what in many ways drew people to him and the authenticity of who he is. It's he was just present in the moment. And I know that my anxiety that I can sometimes struggle with doesn't allow me to be present because it overtakes me and I'm thinking of what could go wrong, the what ifs and what did go wrong. And what someone's feeling over here while I'm communicating or while I'm in a room or in a space and being able to go, well, God's got it. It is what it is. You know, that's been really interesting. But it's most interesting to see that we're in a lot of the same space.
So there's three things, and I'll try to be quick. One, you see what happens, baby, when you deny yourself for your husband, and you there's some revelations that come about that you never thought possible.
The third heaven.
So that was one. Two, I think Jesus's superpower, if you will, was, and I think one of the toughest things, his ability to stay present. I think that, to your point, it helped him to be a non-anxious presence. It helped him stay at peace, because literally the past is the past. The future is, even for Jesus, up to the Father, him being fully human. And I think his ability to stay in a moment, and the people that he was with, though, that's all he was doing at that moment, though fully aware of what was coming, right? But he stayed in that moment, and I think his ability to do that, I think, is amazing. That's it changes the way that I've read scriptures like Matthew 6, about where he says, tomorrow has enough trouble of its own. I think Jesus was amazing. I think it's very spiritual. Obviously, he was connected to God, and so I think that was a huge part, his connection with the Father. But I think for me, what it helped me to understand, because you know me, we've been together at 25 years, And I've always been like,
dang.
Then I know exactly. You've been blessed for 25 years. You didn't realize how many years you've been blessed. And you've been blessed more now than you were at the beginning. Anyway.
Amen.
That's a fat joke, if you're wondering. So, but the, I totally lost you. No, so 25 years, you know me. I've always been like the next thing, the next thing, the next thing. Like, oh, what's it? Let's go. Let's on to the next. And I realized like, wow, you were a lot better with our children with that. Like you were present for every stage.
It's true.
When they were born, I was like, man, I can't wait. You know, my thing, my joke was always, I don't mess with babies till they're 6 months when they have personality. And, you know, then you want them to walk. And it's like, man, I can't wait till they get in school. I can't wait till they talk so we can, you know, and then I can't wait till they get in school and then they're in school. I can't wait till they get to this stage or then I can't wait till they graduate. And then you miss all the moments. And I think that that's something that I probably caught on later too. But that's been a source of my lack of peace. Just, and I do believe that to your point, about being still. So much of the scripture, Old Testament to New, is about being still, waiting on God, being patient. But so much of our culture, and especially within the church, is go, 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 make it happen. What's next? Get an appointment, all this stuff. And I know for me, I was in that mode for a long time, but I do believe it stole some of the joy of serving in ministry and paid ministry. It stole some of the joy from my walk with God. It stole some of my joy in my relationships because there aren't always events. It's like, okay, what's today? Let me maximize what God has given me today. The last thing, the third thing is, and I understand, I like when you said you felt anxiety when I talk about, you know, being hope. We're not hope. I do think if we're connected in the proper way and oriented the proper way, that we should be merchants of hope, purveyors of hope, experts in hope. I think Jesus often was, you know, he was about hope. The apostles, if you listen to some of what they shared in the epistles, it was a lot of hope. But it was, I think part of our role is to be purveyors of hope. Merchants, if you will. Not, I hate using the phrase merchant. I can't think of anything better, just top of head. But I do think our
ambassadors of hope.
Ambassadors of hope.
Maybe.
Yeah. No, I do believe that. And I think that, but it does spring from the inside out. I do think if you try to manufacture it, like anything, you can manufacture joy briefly. You can manufacture anything briefly, peace. But if it's not internal, if it's not a fruit of something that is born from within, it won't last. And you, it's like passing on processed foods or GMOs. It ain't going to be good.
Yeah. Yeah. I think part of that being present too is there's less of a, in a right way, when I say that in a right way, there's less of a care about what others think of you because you are in that moment. This is it. And if there's something needs to change, then okay, I will work on that in the next moment. But in this moment, I'm going to be present with what's here. I'm going to work with what I have. And then when I have more in that next moment, then I will work with that, building on to it. And I think that is super helpful. And it's interesting, you talked about me being present with the kids. I was very present at every stage. I hear people say, oh, I wish I could go back to this. And I'm like, no, I actually don't. I gave it all of me. I gave each of them in their stages all of me. And those memories and those times are cemented, right? But I don't think I did a very good job of that for myself in ministry, for myself. I did that, somehow that didn't correspond or correlate into my work of the ministry, even my own life apart from the kids. It's like I had this whole separate life with them where I lived in the present with them, but on fast forward with me, almost making up time for the presence mm-hmm. I had with them. And so being able to, and almost, you know, there's parts of it where you feel like you've missed some things because you were so present here. And I was listening to, I don't know where it was, whether it was on TikTok or Instagram Reels, it was somewhere, but Shonda Rhimes was doing a commencement speech somewhere. And she was talking about when she is fully present in one place and killing it in one place, she's inevitably failing somewhere else. And that she's like, when I'm able to go to my daughter's recital, I'm probably missing a deadline for a writing or something like that. And I thought, I really appreciated hearing that, because that helps me again, even with my state of peace, is I'm not God. I'm not omnipresent. I'm not omniscient. I can't be in all places at all times, even though my iPhone makes me feel that way, you know, make me feel like I can text and call and, you know, see this on, you know, I can be in all these different places. It's just, no, I wasn't meant to be that. If I try to be everywhere and I try to be excellent in everything, I can't be. I've got my peace. Part of my peace is leaving that to God, leaving it to God that He will fill the gaps for me in the areas that I'm not able to be present in. But that time and space at Acts 17, He created the time and place, my boundaries, where I should be, where I should live, all of that. If I can just stay in that and go, okay, at this current moment, this is my boundary. This is the place that He has set me in today.
Yeah.
And He's going to cover the rest of everything else. I think that that's just a mindset trying to move forward with.
And you are a type A. My wife, for those that are happen to be watching or listening, she is a type A. Literally, sometimes there may be a little friction. Because I'll wake up and she's like, hey, did you do this? Did you do that? I'm like, when would I have had time? I just opened my eyes. Any case. but it's funny. We have opposite experience with our sons. You were so present. And often I'm a big photos guy. And so I'll see, you know, I'll go down Google Memories and I'll go all these pictures. And I long for those times because I wasn't fully present for them. Now, I may have documented them. I was there, but just not fully present. And so there's a part of me that I feel like I missed that stuff. And I think to your point about we're not God, what I've come to realize, I love the smartphone. I've been on it, you know, since the iPhone came out. That has been, it was something I was longing for. I wasn't doing BlackBerry. I wasn't doing anything else. I was waiting for this, and it was a godsend. But obviously, the law of unintended consequences. Now, all of us can see what's happening all over the world. Like, people are like, what's going on? They're taking on the trauma, even of the fires in Los Angeles at present. And it's not theirs to take on, or floods and earthquakes in Nepal, or, you know, racial unrest, or governments being overturned in South America or wherever. And so now all of a sudden we are seeing what God sees and we're not meant to. I don't think it's sin or anything like that. I just think that it has to be taken in its proper context. And I do think it's humbling. And maybe that's it, is that, no, Jesus understood I'm finite. I am finite. And for us, we're finite. And so we can't do everything, though the world says, oh, you can do it all. You can have it all. No, we can't. And that's humbling because I know for me, I want to be able to do it all. I want to be able to know a little bit about everything, but ultimately it hasn't been beneficial and it robs peace. It robs hope. It robs the ability to stay present. So, but in any case, my wife, do you realize we've been speaking for over 20 minutes?
Nope, I didn't realize it.
Didn't even feel like it, huh?
You know what? I'm being present. even when I didn't want to be here, I'm being present. I committed to it. So yeah. Yeah. And it's good. I think being able to get the insight of, oh, wow, we're kind of in the same space. And that's new. And that's actually, it's kind of cool. It's kind of cool. Because I think you can build from that space in a very unified way. Mm-hmm. I think there's space for each other in that, because one's not running ahead of the other or getting frustrated by the other not coming along. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's good.
There you go. And so it's I have learned a lot from you. I've been watching you, and you may not realize, but I know you battle anxiety, but you've been a non-anxious presence in my life, and I've watched and learned and marveled. And I feel really, really, really blessed to kind of be with you and watching and learning and being able to be loved by you and you being patient with me and all my stuff. So ooh. I appreciate you. And, even this aww. Time I appreciate, cause I know that, I know me, I can be difficult to live with, even with my.
I think difficult is a strong word. I think you're harder on yourself, and you don't see yourself. You don't see what I see, and I think that's, you know, I think we can be really hard on ourselves. I think you don't see just your compassion and your kindness and your just servant heart, you know, I think you don't see that. So it's not that, you know, we just have different strengths. You do things that are, I don't remember birthdays. I'm just not that. I'm an only child, you know, I'm my mom's only child. I was not raised with siblings, though I have two other siblings from my dad. I just wasn't raised with them. So I just, it's not, I have had to work at being mindful of others. And it feels, honestly, sometimes relationships and friendships can stress me out, because I feel like I have to be a certain thing and I have to be a certain presence, because it's strange to say this, but I've never really had to find friends. I feel like I've always landed in really great friendships. I've landed with great people in my life, and I haven't always done a very good job of nurturing those. And I think you're so good at that. You're so good at nurturing friendships and nurturing them. I think even with your boys, you're so good at being affectionate and kind with them. And, you know, I think that you don't see a lot of that, and I see it. And I think that's what makes a great partnership. You know, that we get to see the best in each other. Maybe, and I think being present helped that.
Maybe we should do this more often. Titus, Jasmine, it was fun. But now we good now. We're good now. And so now maybe we could see some unpresentable parts. Anyway, we appreciate y'all. We will keep you posted. This is actually live. So in the future, some of these things will be recorded. Tyus and I are working on some interview things. There's a lot of stuff that we weren't able to get to last year. And some things that are going around, you know, we're going to talk about spiritual or church abuse. There's a few things that we'll get to that we weren't able to get to last year. And we're really, really, really excited. So thanks for your time. Appreciate my wife. I love you.
Love you too.
We'll keep you all posted on what's next, Eve Edition and all that. Peace.
Great. Bye, y'all. Oh.